This is the Bible News Prophecy Program, bringing you news and analysis of world events in the light of Bible prophecy. The following program is brought to you by the Continuing Church of God.
Greetings, friends. This is Steve Dupuy for the Bible News Prophecy Program with Dr. Bob Teal, bringing you news and analysis of world events in light of Bible prophecy. Dr. Teal, are the rabbis in Israel any closer to sacrificing a red heifer for purification?
Yes, and they just took an interesting step. This week, Israel 365 News reported that last Tuesday, a practice red heifer burning was conducted. In the drill, the red heifer had been housed in Shiloh, was prepared and burned on wood as preparation for the possibility of an actual ceremony in the future. The heifer was not suitable for the actual ceremony as it had been inspected by the rabbis of the Temple Institute and judged to have non-red hairs, therefore disqualifying it. The heifer was burned on a pyre of wood precisely as specified in Jewish sources. Practice burning was carried out in an undisclosed location in Samaria. The actual red heifer may only be burned in a specific location on the Mount of Olives in Jerusalem. The red heifer project was carried out by the Temple Institute under the auspices of Rabbi Azariah Ariel. Now, I've speculated, based on various things in Temple Institute, that they might have a sacrifice this year, but the one that they did in July, this wasn't it.
Okay, to be clear, why do you say this sacrifice wasn't the one that was required for purification purposes?
Well, because they say it was disqualified, plus the date that they wanted it done. Now, as far as disqualification, Israel National News wrote this. A red heifer was raised in Israel was disqualified for sacrifice after two black hairs were found on its body. It was used as a practice burning ceremony for priests. Now, the fact that the Temple Institute claims they don't currently accept that sacrifice doesn't mean that they can never change their mind by it.
Well, how could the rabbis change their mind? Doesn't the Bible give them the requirements for the red heifer?
Yeah, but it's long been my views that even if there were a couple of non-red hairs, the Jews, biblically speaking, could accept it if they felt the need. Now, if you go to the Temple Institute's website, they currently have the following here. It says, promise of a red heifer. Red heifer is a cow, reddish brown in color. Burning a red heifer is one of the 613 Jewish commandments. Mm-hmm. The word of one of their sages, quote, he commanded us to prepare the red heifer so that its ashes may be ready for the one who needs it for purification. And in our generation, this is again Temple Institute, we're looking forward to the reinstitution of the service in the Holy Temple. The heifer must be completely red, meaning there may be no other colored hairs among the red ones. Jewish law pertaining to the red heifer color requirement is as follows. If the cow has two white or black hairs next to each other, it's invalid. Even if those hairs are plucked, the heifer is invalid. The eyes of the heifer, teeth, and tongue do not have to be red. However, if the horns and hooves are black, they must be removed without harming the flesh in order to be valid for this commandment. Now, related to all that kind of stuff, on July 12, 2024, so a year ago, I wrote, before going further, let me say the Bible does not say that the heifer cannot have any other colored hairs. The Bible says nothing about the color of the hooves or them being removed. The references, the Temple Institute's article online, are the Jewish sages and traditions. They're not literal biblical commands, but Jewish interpretations. Now look, while many Orthodox Jews cling to tradition, some are more flexible when they see the reason to avoid it, particularly if it's not required by the Bible.
Okay, so that's interesting. So some of the criteria of a red heifer is based on Jewish tradition. Just what is the biblical requirement?
Well, the biblical requirements are in the book of Numbers, chapter 19. I want to read the first nine verses here. This will be from the New King James. Now the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, this is the ordinance of the law which the Lord has commanded. Speak to the children of Israel, that they bring you a red heifer without blemish, to which there is no defect, upon which a yoke has never come. You shall give it to Eleazar the priest, so you may take it outside the camp that might be slaughtered before him. And Eleazar shall take some of the blood with his finger, sprinkle some of its blood seven times directly in front of the tabernacle meeting. Then the heifer will be burned in his sight, its hide, its flesh, its blood, It's awful, meaning its intestines and stuff. It'll be burned. Mm-hmm. Priest will take cedar wood and hyssop and scarlet and cast in the midst of the fire, burning the heifer. The priest will wash his clothes, bathe in water, and afterwards will come into the camp. The priest shall be unclean until evening. And the one who burns it shall wash his clothes in water and bathe in water and be unclean to the evening. Verse 9. And the man who's clean shall gather up the ashes of the heifer and store them outside the camp in a clean place, and they shall be kept for the congregation of the children of Israel for the water purification. It is for the purification of sin. Now, so those are the core requirements. While the red heifer is not supposed to have any blemish or defect, the possibility of it not being fully red is not mentioned. Look, you can have a dog or a cat that says white or red or black or whatever. It's got a couple of hairs. No one says it doesn't mean that. And the Bible does not say it can only have two hairs or no more than two hairs. Now, some Jews have interpreted Numbers 19 to mean that they need another red heifer for sacrifices to resume or for the Messiah to return. But that's basically what they teach. But many Jews, including those associated with the Temple Institute, have added non-biblical requirements for this so-called 10th red heifer, they call it. They're not biblically essential. And look, when Jesus was here, he complained that the Jews, like the Pharisees in his day, did that as well. He condemned them for adding traditions on top of the Bible. You can read that in Mark 7, verses 9 to 13. And it's not humanly necessary for Jews to accept something as just being rabbinically valid, because they could just take it because it's biblically valid.
So then where does that leave us with the recent sacrifice of the red heifer with two black hairs?
Well, presuming that the Temple Institute did what they said, which is followed every letter they could, they would collect some ashes of a red heifer.
Okay.
That doesn't mean they won't do a future one. But let's just say in a pinch, they could say, hey, look, we do have the ashes of a red heifer. We did go through the process. We did do it right. And by the way, the Bible does not say it has to be done on the Mount of Olives. Okay? I read Numbers. It does. 19 doesn't say anything about that. Now, as far as the Temple Institute goes, in July of 2024, they wrote that the time has arrived. The time has arrived because they have a high priest that they call Kohanim, or Kohanim, and time has come for sacrifice. And they have all these things. They have, but they want to be able to have the ashes so they can do what they need to do to start all this stuff. So they're waiting, willing and able. And they say they're trained to do this. And they also said that they need to do twice daily sacrifices.
Has there been any other preparations outside of the Temple Institute for two daily sacrifices?
Yeah, but there's a kind of a cute one, if you want, or interesting one. A couple of years ago, it was reported in August 2023 that while many people are looking for this to happen, a young girl decided to come up with a calendar. And she wrote, she types a lot. She says, "My name's Miriam. I'm an autistic girl. I'm not independent in lots of things, but I understand and communicate by typing. I thought for a long time that what could I do that could be significant, that would help everybody to prepare for the temple? I decided to make a temple calendar. I wrote down on the calendar the hours of the Talmud daily sacrifice for every day and the Talmud evening sacrifice. And she said, I want you to look at the calendar every day. Remember what we're missing right now, every day. Of course, you're talking about Jews, I think they need to have sacrifices.
Right.
I've written everything in present tense, so we'll feel what it's like. Let's pray that God will bring us redemption soon as the priest will offer these sacrifices." And her calendar, by the way, is available to download. You can also find it in some articles at chiropractor.com. And I machine translated part of it. And for like one of the days, she says, 6:18, sunrise, always a sacrifice. Additional victim, 15:17, meaning 3:17 in the afternoon, always a sacrifice. 6:59, sunset. Now, the requirement for two sacrifices comes from the book of Numbers 2. This is Numbers chapter 28. I'll read verses 3 and 4. "And you shall say to them, this is the offering made by fire which shall offer to the Lord, two male lambs in their first year, without blemish, day by day, as a daily regular burnt offering. One lamb you shall offer in the morning, the other lamb you shall offer in the evening." Of course, Christians, we don't need animal sacrifices or the ashes of a red heifer. If we accept that Jesus' death eliminated that need, and that's actually what the Bible teaches. For example, in 1 Corinthians 5, verse 7, it says that Christ, our sacrifice, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. And in Hebrews 9, starting in verse 11, we read, Christ came as high priest of the good things to come, with a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is not his creation, not with the blood of bulls and calves, but with his own blood. He entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer, talking about a red heifer here, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God, which is what we're supposed to do, of course. And for this reason, he's the mediator of the new covenant by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions under the first covenant, that those who are called may receive the promise of eternal inheritance. So we see that, according to the New Testament, Christians don't need to be sacrificing animals.
Well, if Christians don't need to concern themselves with animal sacrifices, why do we even care what the rabbis are doing with a red heifer?
Well, there's a couple of reasons. One is that the Jews aren't real Christians. They don't accept Jesus as a sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
And the more religious ones, Jews think they have to have daily sacrifices. The second is because of biblical prophecies. So Jesus talked about, you see the abomination spoken of by Daniel the prophet in the book of Matthew, for example. Well, what's he talking about there? Well, we go to Daniel chapter 9, for example, starting in verse 26-27, we read about a prince who's going to confirm a covenant with many for 1 week, that means 7 years. In the midst of the week, after 3.5 years, that means, he's going to cause his sacrifice to cease. And then talks about abomination. Now, this same person, in Daniel 11, verse 31, is the one who's called the king of the north. And when he's king, verse 31 says, arms will stand on his part. He'll pollute the sanctuary of strength, and shall take away the daily sacrifice and put there the abomination makes desolate. And in Daniel 12, verse 11 to 12, we learn some more about this. So from the time the daily sacrifice is taken away, the abomination is set up, there'll be 1,290 days. Blessed is he who waits and comes to the 1,335 days.
I may be getting a tad bit off track here, Dr. Teal, but can you briefly tell us what is meant by 1,290 days and 1,335 days in Daniel 12?
Well, the late pastor general of the Worldwide Church of God, Herbert Armstrong, taught about this abomination, since this refers to Daniel 11, 31, Matthew 24, 15. And from this time, Daniel 12, 11, to Christ's coming will be 1,290 days. Since it seems evident, a blessing is promised on God's church to wait and endure 1,335 days, approximately 1,335 days prior to Christ's coming. We don't know the exact day and hour, but when this 1,335 days begins, but from that time is when our work will end, and there'll be time when the united Europe shall appear, the revival of the medieval Holy Roman Empire. You talk about the end of the organized work happening. And, you know, the fact that the Jews have done the sacrifice shows that they're planning on doing it. And Miriam's calendar is another step toward that.
When will the sacrifices start?
Well, according to the New Testament, they're stopped before the start of the Great Tribulation. It means they got to be started before the Great Tribulation. So okay. When sacrifices stop, they must be started. This is something that the Temple Institute and others want. They want it as soon as possible. This latest practice and burning of a reddish heifer shows the Temple Institute's going to do this, and they want to set the stage for other sacrifices to start. They will be. Biblical prophecies are going to be fulfilled.
Thank you, Dr. Teal. For more interviews with Dr. Teal, in addition to written as well as audio articles, visit our website at BibleNewsProphecy.net. This is Steve Dupuy for the Bible News Prophecy Program.
This Bible News Prophecy Program was sponsored by the Continuing Church of God. For more information, including access to our free literature, visit BibleNewsProphecy.net or www.ccog.org. You can also reach us by email. Our address is BibleNewsProphecy@gmail.com.